I want to take a minute and just teach you a Palawan phrase this morning. I'm going to teach you how to say good morning. So the word is spelled U-N-G-I-L. That's good. U-N-G-I-L, you say ungil. So let's try that together. Ungil. A little bit more. Let me hear you. Ungil. Let's have 100%. Ungil. All right. Now I'm going to give you the second word. Tutau. That's T-U-T-A-U. And that means morning. So we say tutau. Let's try that. Tutau. You guys are good. Let's put it together. Ungil tutau. There, see? You guys can do that. About 2003, I believe it was, my wife and I were in Brookfield, Wisconsin, happily serving at Brookside Baptist Church, and really had no ambition to leave the church until, you know, maybe God would call us to do church planting. And I thought probably it was going to be New York City. And God had a different plan. And as a result of a little mission trip I took, it was actually more of a helps trip to my brother Paul in a little island just north of us in Yap. I was going over there with my brother Mark to help him do an addition on his house. His family was growing. And so we thought we'd go over and help him put an addition on the house. And on the flight over there, I was seated next to a little elderly woman. We began to talk, and she found out I was a pastor working with youth and family. And she told me all about her son and the trouble that he was in. And so I used God's word and comforted her and pointed her to the hope of the gospel. And after a little while, she asked me, "Would you please come to Palau?" And I'd never heard of Palau. And she kept saying, "Would you please come to Palau?" And I said, I really don't know even where Palau is. And she explained it. I said, "Hey, my ticket's fixed. There's just no way I can." And so I said goodbye to her and went on to Yap and then went back to the States. And I really didn't think much of it. But every night I would wake up and I would think about that little woman. And I couldn't get it out of my head. And at first I thought it was jet lag, and probably some of it was. But after some time, I realized this was more than jet lag. And so I told Jamie about it. And Jamie looked at me and she said, "John, God's not calling me to Palau." And I said, "Hey, I'm not saying God's calling us to Palau. I'm just saying we need to pray about this." And so we prayed and we prayed. For 6 months, we didn't tell people about it. We just prayed together. And by the end of that 6 months, Jamie was as confident as I was that this was what God wanted. And you know what that really was happening in those 6 months? She was coming to this understanding that she was leaving her family, her friends, the things that she knew, the comforts of life here, to go to a place that she didn't know. And ultimately, that decision came down to trusting God. Not trusting me, because I've let her off at times, but it was trusting God. And both of us had to come to that decision of saying, "Lord, we trust you." And you know, this morning, as we study God's word together, we're back in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 3, Paul is talking to Timothy and he's explaining, hey, life isn't just easy. As a soldier, there's some things you got to understand. And the first thing he really drills into Timothy's mind, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can gather together like this. Thank you that these students are here. Some of them are anticipating to hear from you. Others are really biding time. I pray, Lord, that each person here would engage their minds. They'd put out of their minds anything that's distracting. They'd allow you to speak to them. Lord, we need to hear your voice today, and I ask you to help us. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's alive and it's powerful and it's able to change us. And we'll give you the praise and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard about an old Italian man that lived alone in a country, and he wanted to dig his tomato garden. But the ground was really hard, and he was unable to work it. And his only son, Vincent, used to be the one to do it for him, was now in prison. And the old man, he wrote a letter to his son, and he explained his predicament. He said, "Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty bad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I'm just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. If you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would dig the plot for me. Love, Pop." A few days later, he received a letter from his son who is in prison. "Dear Pop, not for nothing. Don't dig up that garden. That's where I buried the bodies. Love, Vinny." At 4 a.m. the next morning, FBI agents and local police arrived and dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. That same day, the old man received another letter from his son, Vinny. "Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny." You know, sometimes when you're in a crisis and you're in trouble, you do desperate things. And really, what we need to do is learn, as Timothy was learning from Paul. Paul said, hey, don't try to find the quick way out. Don't try to do it man's way. Understand that there's some things you got to understand. You're going to go through some tough times. And today, as we look into God's word, we're going to discover, yesterday we discovered that it's the source of our strength is Jesus Christ himself. And that it's through his grace that we can face anything. Going through any of our trials, any of our struggles. God wants your heart. He wants you to lean on him. And so he many times will bring struggles into your life to teach you to lean on him. And so these two go hand in hand. And Timothy was hearing his mentor say to him, you're going to go through some tough times. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that this call to arms was a call to suffering. And yet, in a completely unique way, something that doesn't make sense to anyone else, this calling to suffering is not burdensome. It's not debilitating. It doesn't shut you down. It doesn't leave you in a heap wondering what to do. Paul wanted young Timothy to know that he must be willing to suffer, or he would not be able to last long. Being a soldier is not a trip to Frankie's fun park. It's not a walk through the mall. It's not a call to a life of ease and comforts. It's a call to suffer. I know that in this room, there are many people here who are suffering, who are going through some really tough times. And God cares about you. And I believe that today, if you'll listen, he'll have some powerful words for you. But see, much of our problem is that we so quickly forget what God has called us to. We're so content to live life as we know it. We have our plans and we do our thing, but we forget one very important detail. God has a different plan. He's called us to suffer. I want you to take your Bibles and keep your finger here and flip to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." He's saying, hey, guys and girls, don't be surprised that all of a sudden you're faced with things that are bigger than you, that are way bigger than you can handle. Don't be surprised about it. As if something odd is happening. Look down to verse 19. This whole chapter is packed with great truths. We'll focus on verse 19 now. It says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator." God has called each one of us to suffering. He's called us to endure hardness, not just missionaries, not just people in ministry. He's called every one of you. If you are a soldier of Jesus Christ, He's called you to suffer. He's called you to take up your cross. And see, here's where the problem comes. In our minds, we're thinking that life should be a little bit easier. And so we're always looking for the easiest road. We're always looking for the most comfortable occupation. As you sit down and you're thinking about what exactly you may be doing in the future, it's easy for us to think about what is going to be most convenient. Instead of looking to God and recognizing that His plan is probably going to include, well, it will include suffering. You know, this type of thinking really does affect every area of our life. What happens is, as Christians, we can easily become the most obnoxious people because we expect everything to go right. So we become the loudest complainers when things don't go right. We demand our own way and our own convenience while the lost world just sits there and watches and turns completely away from the Lord. We don't have the soldier mentality. We're focused on what we should have and what we think we should do. And we're the ones who caused the guy behind the counter at Burger King to like totally want to quit and walk away and just give up on life because our order wasn't perfect. So we make this huge deal about it and we're turning red in the face and making a big deal instead of simply just accepting it. Yeah, maybe talk to him about it, but don't be the loud obnoxious. It's because we don't have the mentality of a soldier. You know, I don't think that a soldier in the trenches is going to complain if his food is not hot enough. He's not going to freak out if a bug is in his food. Why? Because he has a clear understanding of what he's doing and where he's going. Hudson Taylor wrote these words as he arrived in China for the first time. He said, "What it means to be so far from home, at the seat of war, and not be able to understand or be understood by the people was fully realized. Their utter wretchedness and misery and my inability to help them or even point them to Jesus powerfully affected me. Satan came in as a flood, but there was one who lifted up a standard against him. Jesus is here. And though unknown to the majority, and uncared for by many who might know him, he is present and precious to his own." See, Hudson Taylor understood that this was a call to suffering, but that Jesus was there. You know, we don't have a problem thinking that God is good when things are going right, when we're happy. But when trouble comes our way, isn't it true that we quickly turn and we start questioning God and asking him what's really going on? Guys and girls, don't think it's strange when trouble comes. Prepare today for the battle tomorrow. I remember as a senior in high school, I came to VJ at the end of the summer. And I was still sort of a punk. I was really trying to live for God, but my mind was still in that transitional stage where I'm growing, I'm being shaped, and I came back from summer vacation, and I'd worked hard, and I came in with a tank top on, and I walked into the dorm, and the guys met me, my buddies from last year, they met me, and they said, "Hey, John, guess who your roommate is?" And I said, "I don't know." And they said, "Good luck." So I'm thinking, And I walked, and I opened the door, and it was Dr. Stephen Jones. He was Stephen at the time, sitting in there. And he told me later, he said, he looked at me and he's like, "Who is this punk kid coming in?" And I looked at him and I was like, "Oh no. Oh." And I thought it was going to be the worst year of my life, but it actually turned out to be one of the best. Because Dr. Jones really had a heart to mentor. Just like Paul in verse 2 said, "Hey, find some guys and invest in them." And we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time on verse 2 here, but I want to say this. Find someone who knows more than you and spend time with them. And then find some guys that don't know as much as you and spend time with them and help them. Because I thank God for that year I learned a lot. God used him in my life in huge ways, and it went for years and years down the road. And it continues. In fact, I when I was preparing this in Palau, I was looking and I found in my Bible, the Bible that Stephen actually gave me, and he wrote this in there. The Lord has great things in store, John. Satan doesn't want to see God use you. So fortify yourself today for the struggle tomorrow. Boy, that's good. Fortify yourself today for the struggle tomorrow. You may not be in crisis right now. You may not be going through suffering right now. But be prepared. Get yourself ready. I love the quote by Amy Carmichael. She said, God hardened me against myself. The coward with pathetic voice who craves for ease and rest and joy. Myself, arch traitor to myself. My hollowest friend. My deadliest foe. My clog. Whatever road I go. Remember, a good God has called you to suffer. He's a good God, and he's called you to suffer. The second thing we need to understand is Paul was pointing to young Timothy, and he said, endure hardness. We need to understand that a good God is completely, our good God is completely in control of all things. Back in 2 Timothy, it's like Timothy was listening and Paul was just kind of walking him through. And back in chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God knows your loneliness. God knows your struggles. He knows all about it. I think about three examples that just are in my mind from the last few months of relationships with people. One man, a man in Palau, I met him a little less than a year after we arrived in Palau. He was the chief of our village named Ikev. And this man grew up the son of the high priest of Moveknye. It's the indigenous Palauan religion, sort of like voodoo. It's very strong. And this man grew up being trained in this, taught this, and really didn't have much of an interest in church. But you know what he loved? He loved fishing. And it just so happens that I enjoy fishing. So I went out with this guy, and we started to get to know each other. And every time we would go out fishing on his boat, I'd say, do you mind if I pray? And I'd pray. And after a while, he started asking me to pray before I even asked. And little by little, he started to have an interest. And at the time, we were going from Genesis to the cross in a small Bible study with a family and a few fishermen. He came and joined us. And when we got to the cross, a few weeks after, I was teaching on Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And he looked at me afterwards and he said, John, for the first time, I understand it's not about what I do, but it's about what Jesus has done. And with tears in his eyes, he explained to me how he was trusting in Jesus. You know, Ikev became a believer. And for several years, God used him in a very real way at our church, Omokulela Biblira Belau, in Palau. And it was such a neat thing to see. But for some reason, just a few months ago, Ikev was sitting in front of his TV watching some sports, and he had a heart attack and died. You know, his wife shared with me that she was finding strength from the grace of God. And then just the other day, we flew in on Monday, a week ago. We flew in, and after we landed, my father-in-law told me that a friend of the family, Darren Christ, had passed away. Suddenly, he had a heart attack, some other complications, and he passed away. Young guy, 42 years old. And at the funeral on Friday, his wife stood up. And by the way, his last message he preached was that life is a vapor. Powerful. And his wife stood up and explained how God's grace was there for her, how she was finding strength from God's grace, and that God knows what's going on. And then just yesterday, I was sitting with Dr. Ledbetter, and he was explaining to me how his wife of 36 plus years passed away from cancer. And with tears in his eyes, he told me that God knew what he was doing and that he was finding strength from God. You know what? It overwhelms me to know that our God knows what's going on and he will meet you in your need exactly where you are. You may be sitting here and say, John, I don't have anything huge in my life right now. Well, you may have a class that seems way too big for you to handle. God knows about that. You may have a financial struggle that's way outside of your ability to pay. God knows about that. You may have a relationship that's so strained and you can't even see clearly to move forward. I'm telling you, God knows. I love the story in 2 Kings chapter 6, where the evil king Aram is coming after Elisha and he wants to kill him. And Elisha is staying in his house. He's in the house and his servant goes outside and he looks, and all the way around, the whole place is surrounded by chariots and soldiers and armies just everywhere. And the servant runs in the house and he tells Elisha, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha, he simply said something that's so profound. He told him, hey, servant, don't be afraid. There are more here on our side than there are on their side. Now, if you're the servant at this point, you're thinking, what do you mean? I looked outside and I saw those guys and there's two of us. But then Elisha prayed this. He said, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And what he was saying is, he's saying, God, help my servant to see that you are here. You know, my prayer for you today is that God can open your eyes so you can see. God is here. And as that servant went outside, the Bible says he looked and there were chariots of fire in the sky surrounding these two men. And there was nothing to fear. Whatever you're facing right now, run to the Lord. Ask him to open your eyes so that you can see. You know, when we first went to Palau, it was an interesting thing. We didn't really have a plan. Our mission board, Biblical Ministries Worldwide, told us, you know, go in, build relationships, and learn the language. Focus on those and just walk with God and just pray for wisdom. And we didn't have a real plan of attack. So we did. We walked in there and God started to do some really neat things. We met this man who began to teach us Palawan. And he found out that we as a family met to study the Bible. And he said, can I meet with you? And we began to meet under a mango tree on Sundays. And we use a ukulele and we sing a few songs. And after a while, he started bringing some of his spear fisherman friends. And this little church, well, it wasn't a church yet. It was a little Bible study, began to grow. And as people came to know Jesus, the church was formed. But do you know the whole process of that? What started happening? People started telling lies and spreading really terrible rumors about us. Telling things that were totally not true. And it wasn't a surprise. Satan will not just sit on the sidelines as you go forward and advance the kingdom. So expect it. Guys and girls, listen. If you pray, Lord, help me to reach my coworker at work, guess what? Satan is going to come after you. If you're just doing your thing here, you're getting your focusing on your grades and just moving through life, planning your future, but you never wage war on the enemy, you don't have to worry. But as soon as you start to take steps forward, there's going to be some serious attacks. But the great thing about it is that God is completely in control. God has called you to suffer, and He's promised that He's completely in control. And then third, a good soldier must remember that God will use this difficulty to purify him and help others come to know Jesus. Look with me over at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8 says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." The Apostle Paul was so stretched that it almost came to the point where he thought he's going to die. You may be here and that's what you feel today. But the truth is, we have a God who will use that tough time in your life to help you grow. He'll help you grow. Look on in verse 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." So that we won't trust in ourselves. God is working in you here to do something in you to teach you not to trust in yourself. The lessons you're learning today are going to be what fortifies you for tomorrow. Don't run from it. Our temptation is immediately to try to step aside of any pressure. Don't do that. Face it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Submit to the Lord and embrace the suffering. Then a verse we all know, Psalm 119 and verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word shines light into our darkness. Learn to run to God's word for help. You're going to hear me say this over and over and over, because without this, there's no way I can do what I'm doing there in Palau. There's no way. There's no way I can be a godly husband. There's no way I can be a godly father without His word every day saturating my heart. If I don't have that, I'm in big trouble. That's the difference between being on a mission field and sitting where you are. You don't feel the pressure as much. When you're over there, it's in your face. You see it. And you know you need God. And so you keep a short sin account and you run to God for help. But over here, it's easy to get lulled to sleep and get out your iPod and waste hours and just kind of forget about life. And the reality is Satan laughs. We've got to understand that we have to have God's word for help. Hudson Taylor replied in a letter to his sister, "You ask how I get over my troubles. This is the way. I take them to the Lord. Since writing the above, I've been reading my evening portion, Psalm 72 through 74. Read them and see how applicable they are. I don't know how it is, but I can seldom read Scripture now without tears of joy and gratitude. I see that to be as I am and have been since my arrival has really been more conducive to my improvement and progress than any other position would have been, though in many respects it's been painful and far from what I should myself have chosen." He understood this, and he ran to God's word for help. And then we're going to finish with looking at Philippians chapter 1. Just flip over to Philippians 1. And this is the last thing I want to just emphasize in this. Expect to see God work through your suffering. Verses 12 through 14, it says, and this is Paul in prison. He said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me," talking about his imprisonment and all the trouble he's going through, "that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Here Paul understood and he expected God to work through those sufferings. Listen, when you face difficulty, when you face trouble, understand that a good God is in control of all things. He's called you to suffering, but he's using that suffering to make you stronger, to make you grow in the Lord. But not only that, but he'll use it to help others come to know Jesus. Guys, it starts now. The mentality of a missionary starts right where you are. And it will continue wherever you go for the rest of your life. But you have to understand, it's not an easy walk in the park. It's a call to suffering. Let's pray. Lord, we look to you and thank you that not only have you called us to something that is bigger than ourselves, but you've actually given us clear vision to see what you're doing in it. Even though we don't know why and we don't know what you're doing, we actually do understand that you're making us more like Jesus. And through that, you're also helping others to know you. So God, I pray for my friends here today that you'd help us to endure hardness as good soldiers so that we can stand before you and hear well done. We love you, God, and we give you all the praise. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.